The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
When somebody's shoveling dirt on you, accusing you, not loving you, telling tales on you, talking about you behind your back, not treating you right, not being fair to you, shoveling dirt on you, instead of letting it defeat you and bury you in the ditch, you're going to shake it off, get up on top of it, let it help you grow, and walk right out and have the life that God wants you to have.
As we walk through each new day, we all have questions. They're just part of life. But did you know there are answers for you? God says when we look, we'll find Him. He's not trying to hide anything. So together, we are discovering life's everyday answers. Remember when we used to actually plan out a trip like this using maps? Even before you got in the car, you would figure out exactly where you were going, how long it would take, where you would stop, all sorts of great information. And now, forget the map, it's all on GPS, so it's even talking to you along the way, which is better or worse, I'm not exactly sure. But either way, it was so well laid out. Well, our walk with Christ is not exactly like that. Yes, God knows it from beginning to end, but we have to trust a little bit more along the way. Here's a question that we'll be answering on today's Everyday Answers. This is from Margie from California. How do I know if I'm following God's path correctly? Sometimes I get off track. Great question. Who has not felt like you were just completely off the map sometime? So today we're going to address that with Joyce, and she will actually be answering three questions. What happens when I'm trying to follow God, but I get stuck? How do I know God's forgiven my wrong decisions? And first up, shouldn't I feel guilty about missing God's direction?
Tonight, we're going to talk about the donkey in the ditch. Luke 14, beginning in verse 1. It occurred one Sabbath when Jesus went for a meal at the house of one of the ruling Pharisees. It's kind of interesting, the people that Jesus ate with. I think sometimes he just got together with people just to shock them. Do you know that he purposely did things to shock the religious crowd and to shake them up? You have to understand that the times that Jesus came in were very different than the times that we live in. They were still living under the law that Moses had received on Mount Sinai, which originally was 10 commandments, but by the time Jesus came, had morphed into 2,200 different rules and regulations that the people were having to follow. And you know, that's kind of the nature of the law. It's like it just keeps growing. You know, it's like this law then has to have this law added to it, then this law has to have this law added to it. And legalism steals our freedom. Jesus came to set us free, and it's not that we don't have any guidelines or any, I don't really like the word rules, but rules that we need to follow, but they're now written in our heart. God comes to live in us, and He gives us a new heart. He says, I'll give you a new heart and put my spirit in you. And so the goal now is to be led by the Holy Spirit. No man can change his heart unless he lets Christ come in and do a new work on the inside of him. Somebody say, wonderful, wonderful. And see, the key is God doesn't want us trying to serve him out of obligation, rules, and regulations. So he gives us a new want to. He puts his spirit in us, and now we don't pray because we have to. We pray because it's a privilege, and who wouldn't want to talk to the God of all the earth? Who wouldn't want to take our little needs to Him and ask Him to meet our needs? Who wouldn't want to be able to take their cares and their worries to Him and let go of them? We pray because it's a privilege. We're not doing God a favor when we read the Bible. You don't get check marks on your calendar in heaven when you read your three chapters every day. We read the Bible because it's God's Word to us, and it's the smartest book that's ever been written. And if we know what's in it and we apply it to our lives will be wonderful and they will change dramatically. That book will keep you out of trouble. Hallelujah. So, you know, we always, we have a habit of saying, I have to. I have to go to church. I have to pray. I have to study. I have to go to the grocery store. No, you don't. If you don't want to eat, just don't go. I have to clean the house. No, you don't. And I think all this have to talk, I really think it puts a burden on us. And I believe we need to start saying, I want to do that. I'm looking forward to going to church tomorrow. I'm looking forward to I can't wait to wake up in the morning and have my prayer time and my fellowship time with God. I love to give. I love to be a blessing to people. Not I have to pay my tithe. I have to go to church. I have to read. I have to pray. You don't have to do anything. God doesn't require that we have to, but He gives us a heart of want to. The only thing is if you never die to the law, Paul said, I have died to the law so I can now live to Christ. You can't have it both ways. Either you're going to do it by trying to follow the law, you're going to try to be right with God through following the law, or you're going to give it up and you're going to say, God, I can't keep the law. I need you as my Savior. I need you. Come and live inside of me and do what only you can do. If you live a legalistic lifestyle, you will get to the point where you absolutely cannot enjoy anything. You won't be able to enjoy anything. Because everything that you try to do, the devil will tell you that there's some more work to be done somewhere. And you have no right to enjoy yourself until all of that is done. There's always another thing that you didn't do right that you must try to do right before you can ever even dare to think that God might be happy with you. So Jesus went to eat with the Pharisees. I think he had a purpose when he went. And they were engaged in watching him closely because, you see, that's what Pharisees do. They watch you closely. And behold, just in front of him, there was a man who had dropsy. And Jesus asked the lawyers and the Pharisees, is it lawful or right to cure on the Sabbath or not? But they kept silent. And then he took hold of the man and cured him and sent him away. And he said to them, which of you, having a son or a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a well, will not at once pull him out even on the Sabbath day? And they were not able to answer him at all. What happens when the donkey falls in the ditch? Jesus gets him out. And we are the donkey that often fall into the ditch. And we can be assured that he will come and lift us out. Let me tell you something. God will help you no matter how much of a rascal you've been and no matter how many times you fall into the ditch. Jesus will reach down in there and get you out if you will just ask him to. And he will do it over and over and over and over again. I'll never forget when I was feeling guilty about something I'd done and I was just dragging myself around all day and just feeling so bad. And I mean, honestly, I heard the Holy Spirit speak in my heart. Would you just do me a favor and just get over that? And go on, because frankly, you are of no value to me in that condition. God needs you. And he needs you knowing who you are in Christ, knowing that you're just a donkey that falls in the ditch sometimes. But the good news is you're God's donkey. Amen. You know, I wish he would have used better examples, you know, like lions and tigers and bears, but no, donkeys and sheep, the dumb animals. But even so, you're his donkey. You're his sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, and I am his sheep, and we are none of the devil's business.
Joyce is coming up soon to answer the question, what happens when I'm trying to follow God, but I get stuck? But before we hear her answer, it's time to listen to your voice. asked you to tell us what you would do if you had more time. And here are a couple of responses. Alana said, if I had more time, I would become a teacher, build housing for homeless, build counseling homes for drug abusers, help fatherless and motherless children, make more money so I can help pay off people's debts. The list is long. Alana, you are a go-getter. I hope you find all that time. Katie from Wisconsin says, if I had more time, I would, well, I have the time. I need to get over the fear of rejection. I would like to volunteer somewhere. I do work a little bit, 6 hours a week. I could volunteer at a nursing home 3 days a week. I guess I just challenged myself. Well, I think we just heard Katie's own thought process of figuring all this out. So thanks for sharing that with us. Alana and Katie want to help other people. It's great. And it's one way to always stay on track with God's plan for your life. So today, share with us why you enjoy helping others and how it's changed your life. Do it on our Facebook page, our Joyce Meyer Ministries page. Do it on Twitter. Use hashtag EA and we will be looking for those answers. And make sure you go to those pages too. See what everybody else is doing. It will inspire you. Now, here's Joyce's answer to the question, what happens when I'm trying to follow God, but I get stuck?
How many of you know Chris Kane? Anybody here know who Chris Kane is? Okay. Well, she's actually a really good friend of mine, and I've had the privilege of mentoring her a lot over the years in her ministry. And her and I were shopping one day in Phoenix, and we went into this store, and a girl was in there, and she was asked what we were doing there, and we said, well, we're here for a Christian conference. She said, oh, yes, I'm spiritual too. And I thought, yes, I'm spiritual. What does that mean? Well, so as she's talking, she's using pretty bad language. Now, this is the clerk in the store. And pretty soon, she drops this F-bomb, and I'm like, I just really don't like bad language. My father had a filthy mouth, and I have a particular aversion to bad language. So I'm thinking. So Chris is just trying to minister to her because, you know, she's a real evangelism and so, an evangelist. And so pretty soon the girl says, oh, I'm so sorry about my language. She said, you know, I think God understands. She said, I even think that God probably cusses sometimes. Well, I lean over the counter and I said, God does not cuss. I mean, whatever little bit of religion I had left in me, it came to life. I said, God does not cuss. Well, here's Chris, and she leans right in beside me, and she said, but he sure loves people who do. And later, I realized what I was doing. She was trying to catch a fish, and I was trying to clean it before we ever caught it. Well, see, that's what we do a lot of times, you know. We won't even give people enough time for God to develop a relationship with them, and we're trying to clean them up and make them act like we think they ought to be act to be part of our group. Well, praise the Lord. If you know a donkey that's in the ditch, instead of judging it for being in the ditch, why don't you just go try to help it get out? Well, you dumb donkey, why are you in that ditch again? I've told you to stay out of that ditch. They already know they shouldn't be in the ditch. They already feel bad about being in the ditch. Why don't you just help them get out of the ditch? But no, what do? We shovel dirt on them. Try to bury them so they stay in the ditch. Jesus is a lifter. He's our glory and the lifter. Psalm 107:20 says, he sends his word and heals them and lifts them out of the pit, heals them from destruction. I love it. Romans 7:24. Do you know about this thing in Romans 7 where Paul says, I do not know what my problem is, the thing I don't want to do, I keep doing, the thing I want to do, I can't do. What is my problem anyway? Well, we all have been there, right? And I don't have time to read the whole thing, but he gets over to Romans 7, verse 24, and he says, oh, unhappy and pitiable and wretched man that I am, Who will release and deliver me from the shackles of this body of death? Oh, and you have to see the way it's written in the Amplified. Look on the screen. Oh, thank God, exclamation mark. He will. Through Jesus Christ, the anointed one, our Lord. I love that. Who's going to deliver me? Oh, thank God. He will. Through Jesus Christ. Romans 8:1. So there is therefore now, while I'm waiting for God to do this work in me, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And that's not talking about, I used to look at that and think, well, duh, if I could walk after the Spirit and not the flesh, then there would be no reason to be condemned. I didn't understand it. But I really believe that what he's talking about there is that when you do sin, or when I sin, we can either follow the flesh to get over it, or we can follow the Spirit to get over it. And if I follow the flesh to get over my sin, then I have to try to work my way out. I have to earn and deserve my forgiveness. But if I follow the Spirit, the leading of the Spirit, I ask God to forgive me, I receive that forgiveness, I shake off the guilt, and I move on to the next thing that God has for me. And I can tell you that the way I'm preaching this weekend is not going to make you sin more. It's not going to make you think that you have a license to sin and now you can get by with living a sloppy life. What it's going to do for you is make you fall so much more in love with Jesus that you are going to want more than ever to please Him. And by the time you get out of here tomorrow, you're going to find out that God will change you if you stop trying to change yourself. And if you learn how to let God be God in your life, you don't have to stay a donkey. You can become an eagle. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. But as long as we keep trying to do it ourselves, we'll always just remain a donkey in the ditch. I used to spend most of my life in the ditch. Now, thank God, I only get in it once in a while. No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. When you do something wrong, the devil says, you dumb donkey. Why are you in that ditch? And the answer should be, well, duh, because I'm a dumb donkey. But let me remind you that I am God's donkey. And He will lift me out. Amen. Not only is He going to come and help you out, but He's going to show you how to get out yourself. He's going to show you how, when somebody's shoveling dirt on you, accusing you, not loving you, telling tales on you, talking about you behind your back, not treating you right, not being fair to you, shoveling dirt on you, instead of letting it defeat you and bury you in the ditch, you're going to shake it off, get up on top of it, let it help you grow, and walk right out and have the life that God wants you to have. Come on, get up on your feet and give God praise. Hallelujah!
It really is comforting to know that because we belong to Christ, that He will help us with all of our struggles. He knows the pitfalls and the stumbling blocks on our path, and He'd much rather help us move forward than just punish us for our mistakes. He's a loving God. He's there for us to help us. So we have to stop punishing ourselves, and today's resource will help you do that. It's called I'm Okay and I'm On My Way. 4 CDs, 4 hours of teaching that will help you to know what to do when you do get stuck, how to forgive yourself for the mistakes that you're making, and to make progress forward. These are the things that we all want. And because we know that you're on a journey, we're even going to put it in a tote bag for you. So we have got you covered. You are ready to go. So make sure that you contact us today and get these resources. God's Word in your life will help you have much more confidence that you are on the path that God wants you to be on, and it will help you to hear His voice. Joyce is about to answer today's final question, but first, here's a glimpse at next week's show.
You're not lost with no hope. God knows your name and He knows where you are at. If you're sitting right now, perhaps contemplating suicide, God is there. He knows where you're at. Amen.
Life is a journey, and we are not going to follow God perfectly every step of the way. We do make mistakes, but we can trust that He forgives us because He says so in His Word. But Joyce also has a practical way to help you believe in His forgiveness. Here's her answer to, how do I know God has forgiven my wrong decisions?
Our youngest son, who's now 32, was, I guess, about 10 when God began to teach me these things. And so that means that this has been a good 22 years ago. And his name is Dan. And of course, we called him Danny. I still do, but now he's officially Daniel. And he wasn't a very disciplined child. He just loved to have fun and real sanguine, happy-go-lucky, zippity-doo-dah personality, you know. And so we tried to give him these little guidelines to follow, some little chores that we wanted him to do around the house, trying to teach him some things. And so he couldn't remember them, so we finally wrote them down for him. And we did this system. You do it, you get a check mark on Monday. If you do it all, you get a check mark on Tuesday. You know, you get enough check marks and, you know, then you'll get a special prize. And so it was a big deal every day to check the chart to see if he'd done everything he's supposed to do. Make the bed, feed the dog, do this, do that, do something. You know, just five or six little things. Well, he loved to play, and so he played outside a lot. And there was a bully in the neighborhood. We'll say the bully represents the devil. And he loved to take Danny's ball and throw it down the sewer. And anytime that he would do that, or he'd get after Danny. We had a garage here on this side of the house. It came into the kitchen, and then our family room was right here beside of it. Well, when the kids were out playing, we'd keep the garage doors up all the time, and they would come in and out of the garage. So many times, Dave and I would be sitting here in the family room, and we'd hear Danny come screaming, "Daddy!" Well, we knew the bully was after him. And I have seen Dave almost tear the door up. Get out there to help his son. And the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, what kind of a parent would you be if when you heard your son screaming for help, if Dave would have said, Joyce, I hear our son screaming for help. He must be in trouble. Would you go downstairs and check his chart and see if he got all of his check marks? Come on. And if he got all of his check marks, I'll help him. If not, too bad for him. Well, of course we wouldn't do that. Why? Because he's our child and we love him and we're committed to him. You know something God showed me a few weeks ago that just tickled me no end? Are you ready for this? How many of you know that you're going to sin some more in your life? Okay, how many of you don't want to? Nobody wants to, right? We don't want to, but we know that we will because we still have weaknesses. That's why we need Jesus. We get up every day and we want to do the best that we can, but we get in the ditch sometimes. And but in order to have relationship with us, now get this, in order for me to have a relationship with Dave, I already know after 45 years of marriage that there will be other times in life when Dave's going to disappoint me or hurt my feelings. He's not going to do it on purpose because he loves me, but, you know, we're people. And so, you know, I mean, things happen. Like, normally, in the afternoons, like when we take a nap, especially on Friday because we got the two meetings, and so we'll take a little nap or take a rest, and so I'll always go in and knock on Dave's door about 30 minutes before time. Are you up? And he's always up. Always, always, always up. Yes, I'm up. I'm up. Okay, he's got his own alarm clock. So today I didn't go. I forgot about him. And so it was like 10 minutes before we're going to leave. And I thought, I better see if Dave's up. So I went in. He wasn't up. Oh, my gosh. Why didn't you wake me up? I said, why am I responsible to get you out of bed? It is not my fault. You've got an alarm clock sitting right there. Well, you know. But see what? Just like that, even though he kind of sort of blamed me for not getting him up, I just forgot about that and went right on. He does that same thing for me all the time. You know, I'll get a little snippy or you know, he forgives me. So if we're going to stay married, which we are, and if we're going to stay in relationship, then literally we have both already decided that whatever we do in the future, we've already decided to forgive each other. You can't have relationship if you don't make that decision. And guess what? God already knows every mistake you will ever make, and He has already decided to forgive you. You're not even in the ditch yet, and He's decided to get you out. Oh my gosh, this is so good, I can't hardly take it. I mean, you're not even in the ditch yet, and He's already got you out. And you know what that does for me? Just takes all the pressure off. God is not even a little bit shocked by you. You know why? And I love to say this. He knew what He was getting when He got you. And He knew what He was getting when He got me. And He loves us anyway. Oh, my, my, my. Jesus doesn't love us because we're perfect. He loves us because He wants to. Matthew 12:20 says, a bruised reed He will not break. I love that. That's so great. Another scripture says, a bruised reed He will not break, and a dimly burning wick He will not quench. Even if you still just got a little bit of spark in you, God will work with you.
Remember, whatever ditch you may be stuck in right now, God will help you get back on the right path. That is what He is best at, redirecting us in the way that He wants us to go, the way that is best for us and what He wants for us. Today's resource will help equip you with the knowledge that you need to cooperate with God. That's what we really all want. We want to be working with Him, not against Him. Believe me, life is so much better then. This is called I'm Okay and I'm On My Way. It's a 4-CD series, and it will help you through different phases that we all go through in life. We're always on a journey of learning more and more of who Christ is and what He wants for us. And there are 4 teachings here, 4 hours of teaching right from God's Word that will help you to recognize some of the pitfalls, to help you grow spiritually mature, to bounce back from mistakes. And we're going to put it in the tote bag for you too, so you are ready to go on your way. Thank you so much for being here with us. We are all looking for the same thing. We're all asking those questions. We're finding the answers together, and we all want to be on that path that God wants us on. So don't give up, and we'll see you next time.